name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So we come to yet another farewell of another Paschal season. You reflect back on, the church calendar is such a teacher. It is such a perpetual reminder of the one thing needful. But if you were to go back arbitrarily to, say, Forgiveness Sunday, and to this point, looking at your own life and your own relationship with the Lord, and how you've dealt with the daily challenges of your life and your contemplation of Christ and what He has done for us and the victory that He has accomplished on our behalf and how that relates to you personally. It's easy to look back on that and say, well, there were some high points to be sure, but I failed in many ways. The apostles were that way. We see in our gospel today the Lord upbraided them for their unbelief. I mean, this is ostensibly the most joyful occasion that I can imagine. They who were grieving on behalf of, because the Lord had tasted death and was no longer with them, now were in this incredible joy of seeing that He had been raised from the dead. And yet our Lord, He admonished them because of their lack of faith. Their interaction with God during that time was not perfect. Yours hasn't been perfect, I promise you. Mine hasn't been either. But every year, when we go through the cycle of the church calendar, if you take it seriously, it brings you closer to God, and you can reflect back on it, and you can know that the Master was with you. You can know that He was there, teaching you, speaking to you, showing you, illuminating your soul. It was really and truly He that energized everything we did from Forgiveness Sunday on. Now, we didn't perceive it perfectly, and that might be one of your thoughts, or maybe you don't feel like you put forth the effort that you should have, or whatever. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that we learn from it. And we let this stimulate us and motivate us and inspire us and drive us to that which is truly needful. A basic metaphor that is used throughout the scriptures by our Lord, the apostles, and the writings of the church fathers is this contrast between the heights and the depths. The heights and the depths. When we speak of the glorious feast of the Ascension, we must remember that our Lord first descended to become one of us and to share for all eternity our human nature. I remind you of Bishop Basil's homily that I think he gave in Memphis at the Parish Life Conference. Not sure where it was, but I think that's where it was. He made this incredible statement that our Lord actually took dirt into heaven. His body, His human nature, was not something that was imagined. He became truly man for all eternity. That is the sacrifice for your sins and for mine. It is of that in this great mystery that here at this altar, which is a shadow of the true altar in heaven, that we draw near and partake of the body and blood of Christ, the glorified human nature of Jesus Christ, who has defeated death. And He stands there always as the high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, offering Himself that once for all perfect sacrifice. We can't save ourselves. And if your reflection on your experience of Lent and the Paschal season makes you feel a little bit down in the dumps. Don't let it. It's not the basis of our salvation that we never make mistakes. Bishop Basil himself, standing on this very ambo, in one of his last homilies here, said, the issue is not that we never sin. The issue is, how do we deal with that sin when we do? How quickly do we repent? How quickly do we come back to this eternal reality, which is life itself? Turning away from that mirage out there, which is the world. When we speak of the glorious feast of the Ascension, we must remember that our Lord first descended to become one of us and to share for all eternity our human nature. In doing this, St. Paul uses the Greek term that we've spoken about many times through the years around here, kenosis, which means self-emptying. We can't even begin to comprehend the magnitude of what he did for us, this incredible gift of the incarnation and of his passion. He who made us and all of creation laid aside his privileges as God and condescended to become as we are apart from sin. He who lacked nothing became poor for our sakes. We think this world has glory, and in some ways it does. But that glory is a passing glory. It is a corrupted glory. It will not last. The glory which he came to reveal to you and to me is a glory that is eternal. It is an everlasting glory that he came to bring into our life, into our consciousness. Because one day he wants us in the flesh to be standing in that glory. It is that to which he calls us. He wants us to join him. That's why the call is an upward call, an ascent, leaving behind that which is corrupt, that which does not last, embracing that glory which is eternal, never ending. Everything that he did in coming down to earth with us was instructive for our salvation. So when he came down to us in humility and out of love and service to us, suffered for our sins, he demonstrated for us the way to the kingdom of God. You want to go up, you have to go down. That is to say that if we desire to ascend or go up with him to share in his glory, then we too must be willing to go down in humility and self-denial. We must see in this not only the necessity of our transformation from the enslavement to the passions to the pursuit of the virtues of God, but the path that leads us to heaven. This is a joy that does not disappoint, my friends. We've tasted it, all of us have. Maybe not to the degree that we would like to have, but none of us would be sitting in here right now if we hadn't tasted it. And we know it's real. It's not some fairy fantasy thing. We must see that in this not only the necessity of our transformation from enslavement to the passions to the pursuit of the virtues of God, but the path that leads to salvation. These two realities unfold together as we draw near to God. To draw near to God means that we change as we move toward him in repentance and spirituality. Remember when our Lord said to Mary, "Don't hold me back. I must go to my Father and your Father." As with everything in the spiritual life of Christ in us, both he and we participate in this pursuit of heaven. He calls us to look upward, though we have not arrived there yet. The saints were all characterized by a longing for the kingdom of God, which found expression in their earthly lives becoming heaven on earth. They brought that glory down in a measure to this earth, and it resides on this earth many, many places. I hope here. But it is a foretaste of that which is full and complete. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the Lord Jesus sent after his ascension, an earnest or sampling or a down payment of life in the heavenlies is experienced by those who truly seek it while still on this earth. All of this is a great mystery because God himself is a mystery. But it is the fundamental orientation of true Christians and the reason the experience of God is emphasized more than the knowledge of God in Orthodox spirituality. The tension of being in this world but not of this world should be felt by each and every Christian who truly desires to please God and to be with him in his kingdom when this life comes, when this life comes to an end. I'm going through a little physical therapy because of this surgery I had last week. These physical therapists are mean. They're cruel. They know where you hurt, and they go right to the pain. They attack it. They make you think you're better off when you don't have to submit to their tortures anymore. We should feel a discomfort, a tension, and their profession, and they know that these muscles over here might be, you know, connected over here. They know where all these connections are. There's a tension in living in this world and being in this world but not of this world. There's always a tension. God has to show each of us how to maneuver through that. It's not going to always be the same for every single person, precisely the same. But obviously there will always be commonalities in our experience as we are seeking the kingdom of God. St. Paul writes in Colossians that we should set our minds on things above where God is. He also said, it is better for me to leave this world, to be with the Lord. But better for you that I stay, indicating clearly how badly he wanted to be in the kingdom with God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. St. John Chrysostom wrote in his Paschal homily, and he both accepts the deeds and welcomes the intention. The desire to be united to God and to become a whole person rather than a fragmented facsimile of the image of God is the primary impetus to climb the heights. So my dear friends, as you reflect on this past Lent, Holy Week, and Pascha, Paschal season, don't be too hard on yourself. Remember that power is perfected in weakness. We can't save ourselves. He wants to save us desperately. He wants to give us eternal life, but we have to say yes. We have to open the doors of our heart to it. We have to seek it. We have to go after it. And if we're not willing to do that, it will not come to us. That's what synergy is all about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.